Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the name of Jesus. All right, can you look into the face of your neighbor, tell your neighbor, Christ is risen, and what must your response be? He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Tell three more people, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful, this my Savior's love. Can you sing along with me? How marvelous, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Sing with me, sing. He paid the debt he did not owe. I owe the debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Now I can sing a brand new song. Amazing grace. Lord Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Sing it again. He paid the debt. He paid the debt he did not owe. I owe the debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Now I can sing a brand new song. Amazing grace. Lord Jesus paid the debt that I owe. Come on, lift your hands and testify. He paid the debt he did not owe. I owe the debt I could not pay. I needed someone
to wash my sins away.
To wash my sins away. Now I can sing a brand new song.
Amazing grace.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay.
Now do this with me. I love that man of Galilee. For he has done so very much for me. He has taken away my sins, put the Holy Ghost in me. I love that man from Galilee. Sing with me, I love that man. I love that man from Galilee. For he has done so very much for me. He has taken away my sins, put the Holy Ghost in me. I love that man from God. One more time, I love that man. I love that man from Galilee. For he has done so very much for me. He has taken away my sins. Will the Holy Ghost in me. I love that man from God. Come on and clap your hands and bless his name. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Before you sit down, let me read to you the story of that resurrection morning. Matthew 28 verse 1 to 9.
Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead." Somebody shout and say, "He's not in the grave. He's risen from the dead. He's alive forevermore." Clap and bless the name of the Lord. It says, "Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is alive forevermore. Hallelujah. It is true that he died. It is true that he was buried. But that is not the end of the story. For all other great religious characters, they died, they were buried, and up till today, they still lie in their graves. There is only one person that I know of. Only one. I said only one person that I know of. He died, yes. He was buried, yes. But 3 days afterwards, he rose triumphantly and victoriously from the grave. What is his name? I said, what is his name? Shout his name one more time. There is power in the name of. There is healing in the name of. There is salvation in the name of. There is deliverance in the name of. There is victory in the name of. Shout his name one more time. Clap your hands and give him a shout of praise. And his resurrection from the dead was a clear statement to us that the Father was satisfied, that the price for our sins had been paid, that the wages of sin, which was death, had been sorted out, and that now there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And what that meant was that all those who come to the Father through this Jesus are accepted by him. You and I have a living hope that one day, when we exit out of this world, we will be with our beloved Jesus, we will be with the everlasting Father, and we will spend all of eternity with him in that beautiful new Jerusalem. If you are excited about that, I think it's a good place to clap your hands once again and give glory unto the Father. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands to him. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. tomb nous dansons. Wa dom non ti mes sommes aidés et ton yamie wa son pour ma me ne free ma comme mes chers. Father, we thank you this morning. Oh, how grateful we are to you that we have an opportunity to come to you again and remember what happened more than 2,000 years ago on a hill far away called Calvary, where the King of Glory died a shameful death on a cross. It looked as though it was all over for him. That a story that looked so promising had now come to a horrible end. But that is why your word says that the kings of this world and the princes of this world did not know that everything that had happened was according to God's plan. If they had known, if they had had a glimpse into this great wisdom from above, they would never have crucified the King of Glory. And today here we are standing before you, justified, reconciled with you, having in us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Our names have been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. We've been washed white as snow by the precious blood of this Jesus. Thank you, Father, that from what he did, he earned himself a name which is above every other name. That at the mention of that name, Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We bless your name for everything that you've done for us. Jesus, we say thank you. Thank you for taking our place. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for all that you've done in our lives. We give you glory and honor. And this morning we ask that you speak to us in Jesus' mighty name. And let the people of God shout aloud, amen. A louder amen will do. And a big hand clap will also be very good. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. God bless you and you may be seated. It's obvious that today my interpreter is not around. He's a bit indisposed. But if you feel anointed to interpret, you can come. Is there anybody who has the grace to interpret? Perhaps God is Pastor Hood. Pastor Mills. His key has come. The anointing has come for him to interpret. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hallelujah. So please bear with us today. It's very difficult to combine the key and the English for me, because it makes me lose my focus. Because whatever I say, I have to translate it into key in my head and say it. But by the grace of God, all of us will understand what I'm saying today. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Look into the face of your neighbor. Tell your neighbor the grace to understand is upon you. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, what Jesus did for us, the love that God showed us, and the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross is a wonderful thing. It is a great thing. It is something that is beyond comprehension and beyond understanding. Now, whenever something great, something powerful is done for you, there is a certain kind of response that is necessary. And there's a certain kind of response that must be given. Your response to something great or something powerful that has been done for you must be an appropriate response. Everybody say an appropriate response. A response is an answer or a reply, as in words or by actions. That's what a response is. So if somebody asks you, are you fine? You can respond by saying yes in words, or you can nod your head, which is an action, but it is a response to the question that was asked. How many can understand that? So that's what a response is. Now, when we say that something is appropriate, we mean that it is suitable or it is fitting. It is suitable or fitting. And I'm submitting to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that when something great is done for you, there is a certain kind of response that is appropriate. And when that response is not forthcoming, it creates or it leaves a bad effect. Do you understand what I'm explaining to you today? Do you understand what I'm explaining to you? Which is why, whenever we think of the love of God for us that resulted in Jesus coming to die for us, give his precious life, pay the price for our sins, so that we'll have an opportunity to be reconciled with the Father. Anytime we reflect on that, there's a certain kind of response that must come forth. And on Friday, Good Friday, where I didn't see a number of you, hallelujah, I started sharing with you about appropriate responses that we must give to the love of God and the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for us. I just shared a couple of them, and I want to continue sharing with you on appropriate responses to God's love or to Christ's love and sacrifice. The first one that I shared with you is that an appropriate response to Christ's love or God's love and Christ's sacrifice is that we must recognize the magnitude of the price Jesus had to pay to purchase our freedom. We must recognize and we must see that Christ had to pay a big price, a huge price, so that you and I can be freed from the penalties of our sins. Hallelujah. So if you read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 19, it says, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors." It continues, "And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ." It was what? The precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. What was used to purchase our freedom, ladies and gentlemen, was not ordinary gold and silver. It was the precious. And the Bible is careful to make that clear to us. It took the precious blood of Christ, as of the only begotten Son of God, to purchase your redemption and my redemption. So that's why we sang the song. That's why we sing a song like that. Another song that we sing is, "I'll never know how much it cost
to see my saints upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my saints upon the cross.
Now, we sing such songs to bring out this fact that it took a great price to be paid for you and I to be who we are today. Can I have an amen from somebody? And an appropriate response to God's love and to Christ's sacrifice on the cross for you and I is to recognize the magnitude of the price Jesus had to pay to purchase our freedom. Hallelujah. The second appropriate response is that we must be truly grateful and always thankful whenever we remember God's love and Christ's sacrifice on the cross. We must be truly grateful and always thankful. That is another appropriate response that must come forth whenever we reflect on what God has done for us. And notice the words I used: truly grateful and always thankful. If we are truly grateful and if we are always thankful for what God has done for us, there will be no cause for us to complain as much as we do. In fact, somebody said, if God was never to do anything more for you and I, he has already done enough. And that is a fact. And the reason why we complain and whine so much when we don't see certain things or when certain blessings are not forthcoming in our lives is because we tend to forget what has already been done for us. And there's a certain attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving which is missing. But an appropriate response that must always be there whenever we think of Christ Jesus and what he's done for us is a response of always being grateful and forever being thankful. Lift up your hand and say with me, I will always be grateful and I'll forever be thankful to Jesus for what he has done for me. Hallelujah. The third appropriate response that we ought to give in reaction to the love of God and Christ's sacrifice on the cross is that we must love God deeply in return for his great love toward us. Praise the Lord. We must love God deeply in return for his great love towards us. Is the love of God for us great? Is it? And the love that God has shown to us, is it a great love? Yes, it is. And the scriptures talk about it. Look with me at John 15, verse 13. John 15, verse 13. It says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Amen. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Another way of putting this is to say that the greatest kind of love is when somebody decides to give his life for his friend. And that is the love, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus Christ demonstrated unto you and us, to you and I. And that is the love that the Father has shown unto us. Look at this other scripture in 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. From the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. The first part again says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. That is to say, that the kind of love, the type of love that the Father has shown unto us, it is so wild and it's so great to behold. It's so great to understand. It's so great to appreciate. It's so great to comprehend. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. What it means, therefore, is that the love that God has shown unto you and I is a great love and is the greatest kind of love. Hallelujah. Have you heard this statement before? Say, obi dowa, doni bi. In other words, when love is shown unto you, you must reciprocate. You must also show love. Is that not so? Now, if the love that God has shown to us is the greatest kind of love, it demands that you and I will respond to that love by also loving God deeply. You cannot just show little love in response to great love that has been shown unto you. Such a response is not appropriate. The appropriate response to great love is great love. Because great love must begat great love. When small love is shown in response to great love, it is inadequate. It is not proper. The equation is not balanced. So if you and I are to respond appropriately to the love of God and to the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for us, then you and I must love him with great love and must love him deeply. And that is why in Mark chapter 12 verse 28 to 30, the Bible says that one of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel. The Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Osi muntie o Israel for munyamia musom no no oye nyame ba kope. Na efatase ye donu. Yadi ya kume nyina, yadi ya kre nyina, yadi ya gini nyina, na yadi ya wonde nyina, bonsem na shera didin en yunyam. Hallelujah. That must be our response to the love of God. Because he loved us with a great love. The appropriate response to that love is also to love him deeply. And to love him deeply means that we must love him with all our heart, with all our soul. Your soul has to do with your emotions. Your soul has to do with your will. Your soul has to do with your feelings. And if we are to love God appropriately, for the love that he's shown to us through Christ coming to die for us, then we must love him with feelings. You know, if somebody says to you that I love you, you are expecting it to be said in not a matter of fact way. I mean, can you imagine that somebody that you know, you love, comes to you and says to you, I love you. I love you. I love you. And there are some spouses, when their husbands or their wives say, I love you, the only thing they say is what? Me too. Me too. Set an expression of love as a life in him. Meeting him. It doesn't feel adequate. It doesn't feel proper. But when the person says, I love you. I love you. And now, who can he hear? So I say, Wumuna Kakra. That I say. Wumuna we nim Kakra. Upe Kra ube sun Kakra Kahonse. I love you. I love you. That one feelings there inside. And when you come and say, I love you. I love you. It's not adequate. And there is something wrong with how we love God. Because the emotions are not deep. Raw. There's no feeling associated with it. One of the ways you can see it is to watch us when we worship, when we are worshiping God, and when we are praising God. Worship. What are these two children doing? It's nice. When you watch believers worshiping, worship is a way of expressing your love to God. And watch us when we worship God. You will notice that often it is devoid of feelings, emotions. It is flat. It is bland. There's no life in it. It's not convincing. Because as you are saying, I love you, Lord, and I love you, Lord, and I lift my hands to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take what you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. And you must all say, no, I come. It's not appropriate. It's not appropriate. So you can check yourself whenever you are in the presence of God. How you respond to him. How you react to him. How you express your love to him. It shows something about you. Whether you really appreciate what he has done for you. And whether what you are doing is an appropriate response to the great love that God has shown unto you. From today, may your love for God be deepened. May your love for God be strengthened. May your love for God become more intense and more passionate than it ever has been before. To love him deeply means to love him with all your mind. It means that God must be on our minds. We must think about him. We must think of him. How can you say that you love me? Can it be that you say you love me and the whole day will pass by and you don't think about me at all? You don't call. You don't call. You don't call. And then sometimes the ones who don't call, are accusing others for not calling. It's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Our people are used to the calling. They are used to the calling. But you see, sometimes that's what happens. You can get overly familiar with people, and then it loses, the relationship loses a certain intensity and relevance. Now, if we say we're going to love God deeply, it must be that He's on our minds, that we think about Him, you communicate with Him, we call Him. And calling God is prayer. That's what it is. Prayer is calling God. No credit. You know? And that line to God, it is always open. It doesn't have any, you know, network issues. Yeah. There are nothing like undersea cables that are cut. So for days, you cannot get through to God. God is where? God is unreachable. There's never anything like that. So to love Him deeply means we must love Him with our minds. And then also with our strength. With our strength. That's an appropriate response to the love of God, to the sacrifice of Jesus. We must love Him with our strength. How much strength do you put into praising God? If after praise and worship you are not sweating, something is not right. It means that strength is not inside. If your makeup is not spoiled after praising God, then something did not work well. So I will say, "What done ya niya? Send ya say ya dono. Ya di ya one day and ya di dono." Your strength, your energy. Hallelujah. So one of the appropriate responses to the love of God and to the sacrifice of Christ for you and I is that we must love God deeply. We must love God how? Deeply. That's what we must do. Medor, medor, namasomuye. Medo, medo, namasomuye, mede makoma, nina be, dobo, bona oye, me panchevo. You know, one of the prayers that we ought to pray all the time is to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to love God deeply, especially when you realize of yourself that my love, no, it's not deep, it's not strong, that I can go for days without spending time with God. I don't read my Bible, I don't fellowship with Him, I don't interact with Him. There is no way you can say you love somebody and you do not interact with the person. There's no way. So one of the prayers we must pray earnestly all the time is to ask the Holy Spirit, "Nyame hun kronkron boa me. Se ne be ya me de ma kuma nyina, me de ma dwene nyina, me de me kra nyina, me de ma ho de nyina, e de be do me nyankopon." But some pie no. Na mpae bo etesa no nyame etie. Esan se eye mpae bo papa. Na ye bibia e wo nyame pemu e ma mene wo. Hallelujah. So we must love God deeply. That is an appropriate response to the love of God. Hallelujah. Number 4. The fourth appropriate response that we can talk about, response that we must give to the love of God and to the sacrifice of Christ, is that we must determine not to live for ourselves, but to live for Christ. We must determine not to live for ourselves, but to live for Christ. Lift up your right hand and say with me, "I will not live for myself, I will live for Christ. Say it again. Mm-hmm. Say it for the third time. Mm-hmm. I will live for Christ. In other words, I must live a Christocentric life. Christocentric life. I heard that expression, a radio DJ, it's something he says. Fifi Folsen, right? Yeah. Say something, something. I'm a Christocentric guy. Yeah. So, Christocentric, what it suggests is that Christ is the center of my life, or my whole life and my whole existence revolves around him. That's why we can say, Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, be the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you are the center of it all. Are the center of it. The center of it all. That's what it is. That is another appropriate response that we must give to the love of God and to the sacrifice of Christ for you and I. We must determine not to live for ourselves, but to live for him. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. It says he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. They will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, New King James Version. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. The earlier verse we looked at says we must no longer live for ourselves. Instead, we must live for Christ. That is to say that we need to get to a point in our Christian walk and a Christian experience where the focus is not just about us, about what you want. Where the focus is not just about your own dreams, your own aspirations, your own desires, but you get to a point where what matters most to you is Christ and what he wants for you. Where your focus in life is Christ, doing all you can to make him happy, to please him, to obey him, to fulfill his wishes and his will and purposes for your life. That's what it means to live for Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the appropriate responses to the love of God and to the sacrifice of Christ is for us to work on ourselves and get to that point where we just don't live for ourselves, but we live for Christ. Because if we be honest and sincere with ourselves, we'll discover that our lives are more about us, what we like, what we want, without much consideration of what God wants for us. It's about our own dreams and aspirations. It's about what we want to do, what we want to achieve, what we want to accomplish in this life. When you get to a point where Christ is the focus and the center of our lives, any dream that we have, any aspiration that we have, we try to see whether it aligns with God's plan and purposes for our lives. That's what it means to live for Christ. And that's a point that we must get to. And that's a kind of response that must come forth, where you can confidently say, if I live for you. If I die for you. In all my ways, I'm ever yours. If I live for you. So we sing, Mete Asea, Mete Mabo. Just worship the Lord right where you are. Oh, Sammy Bosua, Mibo Mabo. Wakwen Yinemo, Akwen Yinemo, Miye Wode. Another appropriate response as we close. Remember that we are talking about appropriate responses to the love of Christ and his sacrifice for us. The next one is we must resolve to carry out the Great Commission, which is Jesus' last instruction before he left. We must resolve to carry out the Great Commission, Jesus' last instruction before he left. Hallelujah. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, New Living Translation, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. It has often been said that the last words of a dying person or somebody who is exiting the scene, when he or she knows that he's dying, or when he or she knows that he's exiting, the last words of such a person are usually very relevant and must be taken seriously. When people know they are dying, They do not talk about trivial issues. They don't talk about insignificant things. Once they know that I am exiting this world, they tend to dwell on important things. And they dwell on very significant things. And usually what they say, you need to pay careful attention. Because they can see, they have a glimpse into eternity. And what they are saying may relate to what is in the world to come. Now, when Jesus Christ was about to leave, he was with the disciples at that time. And he gave them an instruction. Now, that instruction that he gave was an instruction that was important to him.
Molly, you're very some way, pa. Is it me that you swept like that?
The instruction that he gave must have been very important to him, because he knew that he was exiting. He knew that he was going. And then he gave an instruction. Now, that instruction that he gave is an instruction to all of us. Ansana Yesu ebe firi asimu akono. Oni ne siafo ni eshiye. No kan bibi echrewo. Na sama misisu enise. So obi nim se obewu. Ana se obekọ baby okwe chiechire na onyamaya. Se owo asembi ka ana se owo efutuo bi opeso oma. Asamu obeka no enya asema ehu enim faso. E asema edana komaso. E ya asema enu odu. E ya asema ehu hia. Na Yesu Kristo ansa no obekọ no okache ne suafo ne se. Munko amamemu. Na munko ye munko go and make disciples of all nations. Now let me say something to you. And I want you to get this into your spirit. Number one, this thing called the Great Commission, it's not just for me, Pastor Johnny, or for Pastor James, or for Pastor Elvis, or for Pastor Paul, or for a few zealous Christians and believers. It is for everyone. And I want you to listen very carefully to me. It is for everyone who has accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And the unfortunate thing that is happening in Christendom today is that this assignment that Jesus earnestly gave to us has been left to only a few people struggling to reach out to the lost, struggling to win souls and to make disciples of Jesus, for Jesus. May I also draw your attention to this, that each and every one of us has been called and saved to become disciples. A disciple is a follower. A disciple is a student. A disciple is a pupil. And in the Bible, in the early church, the believers were called disciples. Unfortunately, we seem to think that there are Christians and there are disciples. And the disciples are the overzealous ones. The people, the spirit ones, the ones who are taking the work, and it's like they are playing World Cup with it. You and I, that's what we've been called to become. Disciples. And the instruction is to make other disciples. That is the charge that God has given to all of us. But only a few people are carrying out that charge. Many of us are just sitting there enjoying a jolly ride to heaven and to eternity. But I'm saying something to you. that if we don't change our game and we don't rise up to carry out our mission and our assignment, first to be disciples and to make disciples of others, we are going to incur the anger and the wrath of God. That's what is going to happen. If I had only 10 people in this church, 10 people who would just commit to becoming serious disciples and who will decide that every year, by the grace of God, I'm going to win and establish 2 souls every year, two souls. You win them, you establish them, and you make them disciples also. If I have only 10 people out of these masses who will commit to doing this, only 10. And every year they will win and establish only 2 souls. Hear me and hear me well. In 5 years, there should be more than 6,000 disciples in this church. Only because of 10 people. Try and understand what I'm explaining to you. In a year, if I can have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 of you deciding that I'm taking the Great Commission seriously. I am giving an appropriate response to the love of God, to the sacrifice of Christ. If I can have only 10, who will just commit every year with 365 days, I'm just going to win and establish 2 souls. Within 5 years, from 2024 to 2029. And the idea is that you win the people, you establish them, they also become disciples, and they also commit to winning 2 souls every year. Within 5 years, there'll be more than 6,000 disciples. More than 6,000. But that's not what we see. That's not what we see at all. And the reason why we don't see that is because we are not giving an appropriate response to the Great Commission and to the charge that God has given to us. And one day, when we stand before Him, and that day will come, that day, it will definitely come. He will ask, "What did you do with the great grace that I showed unto you? You said you love me and you are committed to me. But what did you do about that assignment that I gave to you?" Today, when we talk about these things and preach about these things, it's like talking too much. You know, we're not saying things that will make us to receive. And I see you this, I see you that, I see you that. Today, I don't see you anything. Today, I don't see you anything. And I like what Pastor James said when he was leading us to take the offering. He said that for once, forget about I'm giving an offering so that God will give me a car, a husband, a child, a wife, a visa, a new job. Forget about it. Let today's offering be to just say thank you. Thank you. But what we have in our churches today is a bunch of spoiled Christians. And I don't blame you. I blame us. It's our fault. Because as the pastors and the teachers, we've given into the pressure of the masses. And everybody wants to be a prophet. Everybody wants to be into something mystical, something sensational. Because like that's what the people want. And the main thing that is supposed to be done, it's not being done. And I'm explaining to you that an appropriate response to the love of God and the sacrifice of Jesus is to commit ourselves. And it's not about not having issues and not having problems. It's like, in spite of your issues, in spite of your challenges, in spite of the things you're struggling with, in spite of the fact that certain things may not be working out for you, you commit to Him. You commit to His work. You commit to the Great Commission. That is an appropriate response to the life of Christ and a sacrifice for us. Can I have an amen from somebody? Is it okay to finish this? It's okay. You are not bored. Not that if you are bored, it will change anything. Because I'll tell you what I have to tell you. The last but one. We must embrace the cross. The next appropriate response is, we must embrace the cross for what it truly is and make sure we do not downplay on its significance. We must embrace the cross for what it truly is and make sure we do not downplay on its significance. Please give me a little of your time and let me finish this. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 to 18. New King James Version. And the point again is, we must embrace the cross and make sure we do not downplay on its significance. We must embrace the cross, as He is so Yesu asendue no mu ye bam no na ye hu nia ejina ho ema na ma ye nye bibia ebe bre cross na se. 1 Corinthians 1:17-18 said, for Christ did not send me to baptize but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Now, I want you to take note of that expression. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. It continues, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I bring your mind again to that statement. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Other versions put it in this way. In place of, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. So other versions say, lest the cross of Christ is emptied of its power. Emptied of its power. Another version, or made void. Or made of no value. Or robbed of its power. So there is a certain way we can handle the cross and the message of the cross and the gospel of Jesus Christ that will take away its power, its significance, its value, and that will make it void. There's a certain way of handling the cross, or seeing the cross, or talking about it, a certain way of preaching and teaching that nullifies the power of the cross. Galatians 6:14. It says, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, My interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It says, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means I will embrace that cross. That's why we sing, I will cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last are laid down. I will cling to that old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Now you see this verse that I read in Galatians 6:14. It says, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's actually a hymn that has that statement in it. It's a popular hymn. It says,
when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, and pour content on all my pride.
Then there's a second verse.
Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood.
Another verse says,
see from his head, his hands and feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? All thorns compose so rich a crown.
The last verse.
Where the whole realm of nature might, that were a present fire to
oh God,
love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul.
This is one of the hymns written by a gentleman called Isaac Watts. This great hymn writer, Charles Wesley, who was the brother of John Wesley, that great Methodist preacher, the founder of the Methodist Church. Charles Wesley composed more than 6,000 hymns. But when he heard this hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, he said, he will exchange all the hymns that he's composed for the privilege to compose just this one hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And what the hymn writer was explaining is that it's like the cross is so important to me. I want to boast about it. I want to make it paramount in my life. I want to make it the main thing in my life. And I'm explaining something to you. That one of our appropriate responses to the love of God and to the sacrifice of Christ is we must embrace the cross. What is the cross? What is the story of the cross? The cross and the story of the cross is a simple one. It talks about God's love for us, that he sent his only begotten son to shed his precious blood, to die on that cross for you and I, so that we will not perish but have everlasting life, so that we would have the fulfilled life which Jesus spoke about when he said, I have come that ye might have life and have it more abundantly. That's the cross. That's the simple message of the cross that we must embrace. But this is what we have done. We the pastors, we the preachers. What we have done is that we have complicated the simple message of the cross. And now our preaching and our teaching is so complex that sometimes it's not even clear what we are talking about. We talk about things and preach sermons that are full of, you know, the wise sounding ideas, the philosophies of men, words that rhyme, statements that are very philosophical in nature. And we've left the simple preaching of the cross, the simple preaching and teaching of the word of God, that simple thing, we've left it and turned it into another thing. Then another thing that we've done, which has made and which makes the cross of Christ of no value and makes it lose its power, is this. We have preached and taught things that make it look as if that what saves us and what helps us is when we follow certain rituals and when we follow certain things. It's like there's something else that must be done for us to be saved apart from the cross of Jesus and what he has already done. So you must find a pastor. You must find a prophet. You must find somebody who will give you direction. It's like your salvation, your breakthrough, your deliverance, your well-being, your healing, your prosperity is connected to somebody. Or you must go to a certain place. Or you must of needs be a part of a certain prayer platform. That you must use a certain kind of oil that comes from Jerusalem. That you must have a prayer mantle. And we've turned the message of the cross, the good news of Jesus. Turned it into something else. And so what the impression that it gives is that what Jesus did was not enough. That there's something else. And that's what we've done. We've made merchandise of the gospel. Look at the number of things that are being sold. Turn on your television. Turn on your television. Ghana TV. And see station after station. See what we the pastors are advertising and promoting. Come and buy this oil. Come and buy Sobro Yesu Moja. Come and buy this prayer mantle. And that here. Mimbo be ending. There's a kind of soap. Yeah. And pomade. When you use it, all your problems will go away. And they say, if you want your problems to be solved, what you must do is come to me. Come to me. I have the solution. I have the answer to all your problems and to all your needs. Yeah. That's so. When we do that, what we've done is that we've turned the power of the cross, because it has already been done. Don't you get it? The victory has already been won. That is why the last statement Jesus made on the cross was, "It is finished." I don't know what is wrong with us. I don't know what is wrong with us. We just don't seem to get it. We don't get it. We think that there's something else. And it is we, the pastors, who have spearheaded it. We've turned the whole thing about Christ into church, into denominations. You must come to my church. And when the ordinary Christian goes to do outreach and evangelism, it is about come to my church. Come and listen to my pastor. He is the best pastor in the world. And sometimes I see these things. Instead of people talking about Jesus and the cross, the finished work of the cross. Earlier I heard some ladies, two ladies be talking about some two men of God somewhere. I won't mention their names. And they just kept talking about them. That ever since I met this person and this, I don't feel at home in any other church. They've really messed my life up. Now I can't listen to any other preacher. Everybody must listen to this person. No, look, thank God for the vessels that he's using. But they are just earthen vessels. What you see in them is the power of God and the glory of God. But sometimes what we do is that we turn the vessels into God. So then we make the cross of Jesus and what was accomplished on it of no significance. Then the last appropriate response. Sorry for taking a lot of your time. Please forgive me. The last appropriate response is we must be prepared to give up our own way, take up our crosses, and follow Christ. We must be prepared to give up our own way, take up our crosses, and follow Christ. Matthew 16, 24 to 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" The last appropriate response that I wanted to talk about is that we must be prepared to give up our own way, take up our crosses, and follow Christ. Listen to me, my friend, as I close. Every one of us has a cross to carry. One of the signs that you are actually a disciple of Jesus is that you must be carrying a cross. If I can't see your cross, and the cross is a symbol of the price that you had to pay to follow Jesus, it's a symbol of suffering and shame. It's a symbol of rejection, a symbol of insults, a symbol of accusations, a symbol of slander, a symbol of rejection. Every one of us has a cross that we are supposed to carry. And if you are not carrying a cross, then it raises questions of whether you are actually following Jesus and whether you have embraced the love of God and the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Your cross is not my cross. Our crosses are not the same. For some, God requires them to pay a higher price. To stand where I'm standing today, there's a price that I've had to pay. But God may not require that same price of you. But whatever it is, every one of us has a cross that we must carry. And there's a junction that we will get to in life where we will have to lose something. Where we'll have to give up our own way. Sometimes you may have to give up a job because of Christ. Sometimes Sometimes you may have to give up a relationship because of Christ. That's the cross you have to carry. Sometimes you may have to lose family because of Christ. Sometimes you may have to lose a friend because of Christ. You may have to lose a husband, lose a wife, lose a child because of Christ. You may have to throw away your dreams and your aspirations because of Christ. Because you realize that this thing and this person will take me away from this Jesus. Every one of us will get to that junction. Every one of us. And if you haven't arrived at that junction yet, you will sooner than later. Because you cannot be a follower of Jesus if you don't carry a cross. That's why somebody composed the song and said, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. Seven world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning. And all of us will get to that decision point where we got to decide who we are going to follow. The words of this hymn were spoken by a gentleman called Noksenk. Noksenk was an Indian man. He lived in a small village in an area called Assam in northeast of India. Many years ago, missionaries went to that area and preached Christ to them. Only a few people accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Noksenk was one of them. He and his wife and his two children. Through him, this guy, many villages, many of the people in the village gave their life to Christ and became born again. But the chief of the village was angry that the people were abandoning their gods and their culture and traditions and following Jesus. So he called for a meeting and summoned Noksenk and his wife and two children and said to him, you are creating problems for us in this village. I want you to renounce this Jesus. Otherwise, you are going to be punished. Noksenk said, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Then they caught his two sons. The king said, I'm going to kill your sons. We are going to shoot arrows into them if you do not renounce Jesus. He said, though none go with me, still I will follow this Jesus. No turning back. And they killed his two sons right before him. Then they caught his wife. If you don't renounce him, we will kill your wife. He said, I cannot. They killed his wife. Then finally they said, we will kill you if you don't renounce this Jesus. He said, the world behind me, the cross before me. And they killed him. They were wiped out. But after their death, the king, the chief of the village said, what is it about this Jesus that this man is prepared to see his wife and his children killed right before him and lose his own life because of him? There must be something about this Jesus. I will also give my life to him. And that day there was a massive conversion in that village. It is from his words that we get the song. I have decided, rise to your feet, to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning. Lift up your hands and sing with me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, yeah, yeah. The cross before me. No turning back. That's my message. Appropriate responses to the love of God and to the sacrifice of Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to ask your forgiveness for taking so much of your time. But I had to say what I had to say. Because woe is me if I don't preach what he laid on my heart to preach. But just before we exit from here, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Are you born again? Have you surrendered your life to him? Have you given him your life? Have you opened your heart to him? Maybe somebody invited you to church today. But I want you to understand that Jesus is right here with us. And he's waiting for you. Yes, you. To surrender your life to him. And today I'm here to pray with you. Maybe you are watching me online. But you've not yet yielded your life to Jesus. But he can see you right where you are. And he wants you. And I want to pray with you. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. This Jesus is too much. I need to respond appropriately to his love. I need to surrender my life to him. Please pray with me. Wherever you're standing, if you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want you to lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. Lift up your right hand wherever you are. If you need this Jesus in your life, I see your hand. I see it. I see your hand. God bless you. If you're watching me, wherever you are, lift your hand and receive this Jesus also. God bless you. Now, if you've lifted up your hand, I need you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody join in this prayer, including those of you watching. And those of you in your rooms, whose hands are lifted in faith. God can see you, even though I cannot. Now, pray this prayer with me. And let's all join in this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, today, I come to you, just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. On this Resurrection Sunday, I give my heart to Jesus. I receive him as my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my everything. From today, I will serve him and I will follow him. Oh God, help me to live for Jesus and to serve him and to follow him without turning back. Please write my name in the book of life. I thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' mighty name, let everybody say amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.